Anybody out there know that Jesus, even in times such as these, Jesus is real. Amen. Giving all praises to God, to our own Dr. Bride, to our deacons, trustees, brothers, sisters, family, friends, and guests. We're indeed grateful that the Lord has allowed us into his house one more time. I've lived long enough to know that it's not by my goodness, but by his grace. We do lift up those who are suffering in these times, those who have been affected by the floods and those that are missing. We know our hearts go out to them and our prayers for them and theirs. We're also grateful for the young people on last Sunday. Amen. Amen. We're grateful for them singing and praying and speaking the word. Amen. What is changed to a child? I know that's right. Well, we don't even think about that. That was a good question. What is changed to a child? And then we thought our own Deacon Andrew Harrison, celebrating his birthday, came and let us know that change is inevitable, but it gives us an opportunity to show forth our faith. Amen. And what an opportunity we have to show forth our faith. For this first Sunday in July, we would like to call your attention to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we would like to read this morning from verses 1 through 9. And we're reading from the New American Standard Bible, 1995. If whatever version you have, please follow along. By the inspiration of God, these words are recorded. Now there was a certain man from Ramathzophon, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jerome, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And he had two, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. We really want to focus our attention on verse 9 with our subject this morning. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. And we would like to use as a subject this morning, Hannah rose. Hannah rose. The story of Hannah starts as so many. It starts with a certain man. Her story is attached to Elkanah. Elkanah apparently was a good man. He worshiped the Lord. He offered sacrifices unto the Lord. In fact, Elkanah would travel from his home in Ephraim to Shiloh in order to worship and offer sacrifice. Her story, Hannah's story, is attached to his story. And so often in the scripture, we find that her story is attached to his story. Sarah's story is attached to Abraham's story. Rebecca's story is attached to Isaac's story. Rachel's story is attached to Jacob's story. And the church story is attached to Jesus' story. His story and her story combine to make history. It is her story that brings into this story the hand of God. Elkanah and Hannah's marriage was a match made in heaven. Both looked at them as good men, a good man and a good woman coming together to form a great marriage. Oh, everyone could see the potential in both of them, both Elkanah and in Hannah. Her wedding was traditional, white gown, long veil, plenty of bridesmaids, plenty of groomsmen, all of them coming for this ceremony of joining the house of Hannah and the house of Elkanah. Everyone thought that this was, in fact, a marriage made in heaven. Yes, Elkanah loved Hannah, and Hannah loved Elkanah. And every year, they would travel to Shiloh. And you know how it went. The first year, there were thousands of people asking Hannah, when is she going to give Elkanah a child? Year after year, more and more of the voices came asking, when will you give him a child? But suddenly, the voices stopped. The question stopped coming. In fact, no one would, in fact, deal with Hannah because the scripture teaches us that Hannah was barren. In fact, even though this was a marriage made in heaven, there was a parasite in paradise. There was a problem in the marriage. Hannah was barren. Her emptiness, her inability to have children seemed to be, according to the word of God, an exact cause by the Lord. The Lord had closed her womb. Verse 6, it actually says it again. It repeats it, verse 5 and in verse 6, because the Lord had closed her womb. Every year after year, time after time, people were starting to look at Hannah as if she did something wrong to cause the Lord to close her womb. First Samuel chapter 1 brings us to one yearly event. This event happened year after year. They went year after year, but now the time has come for Elkanah to travel to Shiloh one more year. But because Hannah was barren, Elkanah got the opportunity to remarry. Well, to marry another. To take on another wife. In fact, she had one job. Her job was to bear him children. And she knew it. She knew her assignment, knew her job, and she began to have children right off the bat. Son, daughters, daughters, son, son, daughter, 10 children. Piana has, and Hannah still has none. But this morning, I want us to look this one time in Shiloh, look at the faces around this table. Who was at the table? Elkanah was at the table, a good man, a worshiper, one who would travel, who knew how to plan the trip and orchestrate two wives and 10 kids and move them all the way to Shiloh, had enough to provide for them, to feed them, to clothe them, to shelter them. He was sitting at the table. And then you have Piana. She's at the table too. And she's there with her sons and daughter. And she's well aware of societal leverage that she has because she has offspring. It seemed to torture Hannah. It seemed to provoke her. It always, and you know, it was just her waking up in the morning. She'll wake up in the morning and say to Hannah, "Hannah, I'm going to watch the kid's face. You need anything? Hannah, I'm finna go to the store to pick up some milk and diapers. Do you need anything?" Every day, every time she opened her mouth, it was a reminder to Hannah that she was barren. Hannah began to have a sense of being even forgotten by God. Have you ever had to live when you felt like God is ignoring you? That God is overlooking you? That God himself does not notice you? That's why the songwriter wrote the song, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Last thing I want is the Lord to pass me by. But this is Hannah's case. She is feeling forgotten, ignored, overlooked, and unnoticed, all while sitting at the table. Because at this time in the nation of Israel history, they were awaiting the next champion. For you see, it has been 20 years since Samson has left the scene. For 20 years, two decades, they did not have a champion that would stand up for them. For 20 years, they had no one to fight against the Philistines, and the Philistines were taking more and more liberties against the nation of Israel. Every man wanted to have a son to be a champion. Every woman wanted to have a son to be a champion. Everyone wanted to next Samson. And Hannah has been declared barren. Even the Lord has closed her womb. And every time Peanna sat at the table, it made Hannah think only of one question: what do you bring to the table? You know, that's a question so many people want to ask today. What do you bring to the table? In fact, we can look in this text and see what Elkanah brought to the table. He brought to the table wealth. He brought to the table wives. He brought to the table children. He brought to the table legacy. He brought to the table future. He brought material things and people to the table. We can also see Peanna, what she brought to the table. She brought the future to the table. She brought sons to the table. And she brought daughters to the table. She brought the future hope. One of his sons, one of his daughters could be the mother of the next champion. But every move she made Hannah feel like nothing. What do you bring to the table? You know, so many people struggle with that today. They look around at all of the things that other people have and they don't have, and you can begin to feel overlooked. You can look around and say, "I don't have what they have. So maybe it's God's will that I don't have the joy that they have." But brothers and sisters, let me tell you this morning that if the Lord closed the womb, the Lord has the power to open the womb. If the Lord closed a door, God got the ability to open the door. If the Lord shut one way, God got infinite ways in which he is able to grant for his children. Yes, Hannah was at the table, and you seemingly on the outside, all she brought was barrenness. All she brought was sorrow. All she brought was disappointment. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, those are the ingredients that God uses for a miracle. Yes, God uses disappointment to bring forth a miracle. God uses bitterness to bring forth a miracle. God will use your sorrow and your tears in order to bring forth a miracle. Yes, you see, Hannah was at the table, and Hannah brought something that Elkanah didn't bring. Hannah brought something that even Peanna didn't bring. Hannah brought the opportunity for God to provide a miracle. Yeah, she had the ingredients, like Sarah had the ingredients. She had the ingredients like Rachel had the ingredients. She had the ingredients like Samson's mother had the ingredients. She had the ingredients just like Elizabeth had the ingredients. She was at the table, and she was willing to be used by God. It's interesting. You can tell Elkanah loves Hannah by the way he tries to comfort her. When he sees her, notice her, he sees her in her sorrow, sees her in her grief, and he asks her, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Hey, have you ever been so downtrodden that you lost your appetite? Have you ever found yourself in a place where even though you got a full portion in front of you, a double portion in front of you, you don't want to eat any of it? He said, why? Why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? What Elkanah was trying to say with Hannah is, I know you're without, but ain't I more to you than sons and daughters? Ain't I done more for you? I put a house over you, put a roof over your head, gave you a bed. You don't have to worry about your future. I will take care of you for the rest of your days. You don't have to give me a son in order for me to love you. You don't have to give me a son in order for you, for me to care for you. Ain't I enough? But what Hannah wanted was Elkanah couldn't give it to her. What Hannah wanted was not just a future. Hannah wanted to be a part of God's plan. What Hannah wanted was, God, whatever you are doing in this season, don't do it without me. Lord, whatever you do, whatever champion you raise up, don't do it without me. Don't forget about me. So what did Hannah bring to the table? Hannah brought hope to the table. And I know, so many people sleep on hope. People don't know the power that contained in hope. You see, Elkanah can rely on what is real, what is in the present, what's in the right now. He can rely on his bank account. He can rely on his real estate. He can rely on his material possession. Piana can rely on her sons. She can rely on her daughters. She can rely on her children. But Hannah had hope that nobody but God will be able to turn my situation around. Nobody but God is trusting that God got a plan for your life. It may not look like it. My situation may look hopeless. My position may look hopeless. My plight might look hopeless. But because there is a God, I can have hope that he can turn this situation around. What Hannah brought was hope. This faith in God that he's able to work this situation out. You see, they were living in trying times, much like the times in which we live. Times where we lose faith in our leadership. We lose faith in our political leadership. We lose faith in our people in charge. We lose faith in that. But Hannah had hope. She had hope that God could turn this situation around. She had a confident expectation and trust in God's promises and future blessings. Hannah believed that God could turn this situation around. Now, you got to note that this wasn't the first year that she had the desire. She had the desire at least 10 years when Piana was having her surgery. She had it when she first got married. She had the desire. But down through the years, she kept that hope. And that hope caused Hannah to rise. The King James says, Hannah rose. The NIV says, Hannah got up. The RSV says, Hannah stood up. It was hope that got her on her feet. It was hope that God would not forget about her. And brothers and sisters, even when you don't have facts, you can have hope. Even when you don't have the figures, You can have hope. Even if you don't have the final findings, you can still have hope that God is not through with me yet. Disappointment can't hold you down. Bitterness can't keep you down. Sorrow can't keep you down. When you got hope, hope will stand you up and cause you to go face a new day. Hannah rose because she had hope in her heart, believing that God is still blessing her, still blessing her family, still blessing the nation of Israel, and still watching over his people. And brothers and sisters, this story of Hannah can remind us too, in the times in which we live, of the power of hope. If we don't give up on God, God won't give up on you. If you don't quit on God, God won't quit on you. If you just stay in there with God, God can make a way out of no way. He made a way for Sarah. He made a way for Rebecca. He made a way for Rachel. He made a way for Hannah. And he'll make a way for you. With the world try to shut you down, God will open you up. When the world try to put you out of business, God will set you up. In times such as these, we have to remember that Hannah rose. May God bless you and may God keep you today. At this time, we want to extend the invitation as the ushers and greeters and the deacons come. This is your time. Just come to Jesus. We can work out the details later. But don't let this day pass. If you're online, we ask that you put a comment and we will respond to you. You don't have to leave this place without a relationship with the Lord. And if you have a relationship with the Lord but you don't have a church home, we invite you to Ebenezer. It's a wonderful place to go to heaven from. It's a wonderful place to worship God and to serve God and to witness to others. Will you come?
Oh, my brother.
Come on, come on. It is our prayer that it is well with your soul.